Good evening. Come on in. Everybody has had a good afternoon. If you'll please stand, we'll begin by singing The Lord is Our Shepherd, number 170. 170. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening and our time together. Lord, we commit it to you. We are so thankful for you as our shepherd, Lord. You lead us to green pastures and still waters, Lord. And we are nourished by the gift of your word. Lord, we're so thankful. And the sweetest thing that you've done for us, Lord, is that you died for us for our sins. Just bless our time together and our fellowship with one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us between thee, thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine heart. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine. Thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor. Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us.
You may be seated as you turn to number 303. One of the reasons we take our sin so seriously, why we ask of the Lord to help us recognize our sin, why we seek to put off our sin, is because of the painful and cruel death by which our Savior suffered on the cross to pay for those sins. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit."
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. bless my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's God. By his son God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. They who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, hear Matthew its nature rightly, hear its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the word the Lord's anointed, Son of Man, the Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, hear the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation, here's the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
Let's sing Fairest Lord Jesus, number 107.
Forevermore be thine.
you'll stand for our last song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 164. You can meditate upon the words of Paul while you sing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still a refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there.
You may be seated.
Good evening. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now, listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have brought. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she has kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be here tonight, gathered as your people. Father, I pray that you would enable us to hear from you. Lord, may we be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we jumped into the book of Ruth, and we talked about how God demonstrates his hesed even in the midst of hardship. And I mentioned last week how the word hesed, it's a small little Hebrew word, but it packs a lot of meaning. It carries with it this idea of mercy and grace, loving kindness, and even covenant faithfulness. There's no direct English translation of the word. You have to use a cluster of words to kind of get the idea. So I may use loving kindness or kindness as the English equivalent, but it means so much more than that. Anyway, at the end of last week, we concluded by noting that at times the very suffering that we endure, in fact, is God's hesed at work on our behalf. And hopefully, as we continue to move through the book of Ruth, that will become more evident. So, you know, I really love the Old Testament. I teach the Old Testament at Union Bible Institute in South Africa. And I also really enjoy preaching from the Old Testament. I think there's probably lots of reasons for that. But one of them is just how central story is to the Old Testament. Much of Scripture is very propositional. It tells us what we're to know, what we're to believe, and what we're to do. And I guess if I were to put a proposition to the book of Ruth, it would come out of Psalm 103, verse 8, where it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love," or abounding in hesed. But the book of Ruth doesn't just come right out and say this. No, narrative doesn't so much tell us what we're to know, but it shows us. It shows us through the story, through the actions of the characters. I think there's something in us. I think God has created us to love stories. And that's why we go and watch movies. It's why we read novels. It's why when we have conversations with one another, we say things like, "Oh, there was this one time when this happened." Today, I want to tell you another story, but I want to do it in a little bit of a different way. This is a preaching style you may not be familiar with. It's called a first-person narrative. I want to tell you this story through the eyes of someone who was there, through the eyes of Boaz's field manager. If he was here today, his story might sound something like this. "Hello, I'm told that you want to hear the story of Ruth and Boaz. Ah, it's a great story. I know them both pretty well, actually. They live just down the street from me. In fact, Boaz has been my employer for quite a number of years now. I still remember that day, the day it all started. It was just as the barley harvest was beginning, so probably around late April. Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth had just gotten back from Moab, and they were having a pretty rough time of it. There were deaths in the family. In fact, there were no men left to take care of them. Well, Ruth got up one day and she decided that she would go out and glean in the fields. But there was a problem. You see, not only was Ruth a widow, but she was also a Moabite. For those of you who don't know, we Israelites don't really like the Moabites. You may not know this, but when we were fleeing Egypt, headed for the promised land, Moab tried to hire a prophet to curse us. His name was Balaam. Well, thanks be to God who turned that wicked plan into blessing. Well, Ruth knew that not everyone would look favorably on her. She didn't know what would happen. She didn't know if she would find success. But she was determined to try and see if she could find someone who would show kindness to her. I can just imagine how nervous she must have been when she left that morning. With each step she took, the lump in her throat got bigger, and the more violently her heart pounded against her chest. I woke up early that day, right before the rooster began to crow, and as I walked to work, the sun was just beginning to come above the horizon. When I got there, got to the fields, I was sharpening a tool for one of the young men. And I happened to look up and I noticed this young woman, just by chance, wandering into the field. It was a stroke of luck for her. Out of all the fields she could have gone to, it was quite the coincidence she came to ours. I walked over to her and just to see what she wanted. I didn't recognize her at first, but once she told me that she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, I remembered the whispers that had been going on throughout the town. The other townspeople had been talking about Naomi's return. and that she had brought a Moabite daughter-in-law with her. I'm pretty sure some of the people of Bethlehem weren't too happy about that arrangement. She told me her name was Ruth, and she asked if she could glean among the sheaves. Now, since you are foreigners, maybe you don't know much about our customs. But the law of Moses says specifically that when we harvest the fields, we're not to go back and collect anything that we may have dropped or anything we missed. We're also supposed to not harvest the corners of the fields. These were to be left for the widows and the orphans and the outsiders who would glean behind us. It's God's way of taking care of the disadvantaged among us. But a lot of people ignore that law, and they don't allow gleaners into the fields. Well, so I hesitated at first, but I decided to go ahead and let her begin gathering. If you know anything about gathering barley, after a while your back really starts to hurt because you're bending down and collecting the grain. But she worked hard that morning, and she just took a short rest at one point. It wasn't long before my boss arrived. Boaz came into the field. "The Lord be with you," he called out to us. And we would always reply by saying, "The Lord bless you." He glanced over the field and started walking my way. He had this puzzled look on his face. "Who does that young woman belong to?" he asked me. I told him, well, that was the Moabite who had returned with Naomi. She's been working here all morning. He didn't say anything to me, but he walked over to Ruth. I was curious as to what he was going to say, so I got as close as I could, and I pretended to be tying together a bundle of grain. I overheard Boaz speaking to her. He called her my daughter. Now, I know this may sound condescending to you for your culture, but it's completely appropriate for ours. I mean, after all, Boaz was quite a bit older than Ruth was. But what was so amazing was that he was referring to a Moabite in this way. I didn't tell anyone about it. I'm not sure others would have taken too kindly to the way he was treating her, such a friendly and protective sort of way. I mean, he went on and he told her she shouldn't glean anywhere else. Instead, she should stay close to his female servants. He told her that he was commanding his workers not to harass her. Unfortunately, sexual harassment was an all too common problem. He also told her that she could drink from the water jugs that the guys had brought. Now, you have to understand, what is normal is that foreigners, they draw water for us, and women draw water for men. I was fortunate to be working for Boaz. Even back then, he was important and well thought of in our small community. He's always treated us fairly. In fact, he's one of the most honorable men I know. And that's not something to be taken for granted during these rebellious days. After all, the judges are judging the land, and it's not a great time in our history. The spiritual and moral condition of the land is in decline. But Boaz, he's just such a true Israelite. Well, I could see Boaz's kindness had an impact on Ruth. She fell on the ground in front of him. She asked him why he was being so kind to her, a foreigner. He looked at her, and then he said, "I've heard all that you've done for Naomi since Elimelech died. I've heard how you left your family and country and come to our land, a place you've never lived before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. And may you be rewarded by the Lord, the one under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I must admit that what Ruth had done was pretty amazing. No one would have faulted her for going back home. Boaz wished for Adonai, the God of Israel, to repay Ruth, a Moabite, for her kindness. Boaz, he taught me an important lesson that day. He taught me that the wings of God's protection aren't just for those of us with the right spiritual or ethnic background, but they're for all those who seek refuge. Boaz taught me that Adonai is a welcoming God, as well as a God who does not let kindness go unrewarded. It was pretty incredible watching Boaz treat this woman with such dignity. When Ruth's allegiance changed on that road from Moab to Judah, she took refuge under the wings of Adonai. Well, I think you can see that God was using Boaz as his wings. How lucky she was to come to our field that day. Initially, I thought maybe Boaz was just repaying Ruth for the kindness that Ruth showed to his relative, to Naomi. I've thought a lot about it since that time. And I think that may have been part of it, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. I think it's also because Boaz takes his faith seriously and seeks to live by God's word. I know this time period of our history is wretched, but not everyone in the time of the judges rejected the Lord. Boaz is evidence of this. It's too bad there aren't more people like Boaz, and even Ruth, even though she is a Moabite. She's more godly than so many Israelites I know. If only this type of hesed was more commonplace. I really think both Ruth and Boaz are a picture of what Adonai calls all of us to be like. After Boaz said these things, tears welled up in Ruth's eyes. She said, "I've found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you've comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." At lunchtime, Boaz would have food prepared for us, bread and wine to dip it in, as well as some roasted grain. We'd sit together while we ate. We'd talk of our families. We'd laugh at each other's stories. Unlike other field owners, Boaz would actually eat with us. Well, to our surprise, that day he asked Ruth to join us. Then to our shock, he took the roasted corn, the roasted grain, and he served her. And it wasn't just that he humbled himself in this way, but he gave her so much more than she could possibly eat. And then before we went back to work, Boaz called us all aside, and he gave us some pretty strange instructions. He told us to let her glean among the sheaves and to even pull some of the grain out that we had collected and leave it behind for her. He also told us to be sure that we didn't give her a hard time. And we saw the look in his eyes and we knew he was serious. Well, the day continued in much the same way. We went back to the field and worked throughout the heat of the afternoon until evening. Later that evening after work, I was walking home and my eyes looked out toward the east. I saw the hills of Moab stretched up toward the sky, and it reminded me all that had happened that day. I remembered how after we'd finished up, I had watched Ruth gather her grain, everything she collected. She'd gone and she'd beaten her barley out with a stick. When she finished, she had so much that she was struggling under the weight of it to carry it all. It was potentially 50 pounds. I remembered watching her go and marveling at just how generous my master had been to her. I've often wondered what our community could be like if we all would practice radical generosity. So many of those of us here in Bethlehem do as little as we can. We think far too much of improving our houses or enlarging our flocks. I don't have personal knowledge of what happened after Ruth left that day. But since that time, I once had a chance to ask her. She told me that when she got home, she was so excited to tell Naomi about her good luck. When Naomi heard, she was overwhelmed by Boaz's generosity. The blessings began to just flow out of her. Apparently, Naomi said, "May he be blessed by Adonai, whose hesed has not forsaken the living or the dead." Adonai's hesed had not forsaken them. Naomi recognized that God was using my master to show hesed to both of them. Ruth told me later on that it was only then she found out that Boaz was one of their relatives. In fact, one of their redeemers. And you may not know what that is just yet, but it's very important for this story. Each day, Ruth made her way back to our field, and she remained all throughout the barley and wheat harvests. She went out with Boaz's young men every day, and she also continued to live with Naomi. But things were beginning to look a little brighter. And that's how I remember this story. It's one that I have never forgotten. It's almost comical, the number of coincidences that occurred that day. Ruth just happened to wander into the perfect field, owned by a kind, God-fearing man. Ruth just happened to find favor in the eyes of first his foreman and then Boaz himself. It just happened that Boaz was a relative, a redeemer no less. When it comes to our story today, we have the benefit of hindsight. We read the story and we know that these were not coincidences. It wasn't luck. It wasn't chance. It is God himself at work. God is involved. God is guiding. He's moving. He's leading. He's directing the everyday events of human beings. In this story, we see God's loving kindness through his providence. Never are we directly told that God did this or that he ordained that? But the irony is rich, leading us to the conclusion that all of this can't just be happenstance. God's hand, though hidden, is at work for the good of these women. Back in chapter 1, in verses 8 and 9, we see Naomi's prayer for Ruth. And what does she say? She says, "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Though not in the way she expected, Naomi's prayer is beginning to come true. Does Naomi see it? Similarly, in our own lives, we also don't have an all-knowing narrator standing over us saying that God did this or he ordained that. But the God of Naomi and Ruth is the same God today. And God's hand is still working behind the scenes. We continue to experience God's loving kindness through his providence. Naomi recognized God's providence at work, and she saw God's loving kindness in it. It's interesting, in these two sequential chapters, we have almost two different pictures of Naomi, two different responses. In chapter one, we have the Naomi who can't see past her own pain, who is self-absorbed. But here in chapter 2, we have a Naomi who is just beginning to see the hesed of God at work in the events of her life. May we look for the hesed of God in the way he providentially directs the events of our lives. And once we begin to see his hesed at work, how do we respond? We respond with thankfulness. We respond with praise to the God who does not forsake us. God demonstrates his loving kindness to us through his providence. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for going through life and not recognizing your hand of kindness, of grace, moving for our good and your glory. Open our eyes that we may see and our mouths that we may praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.